Today is the second anniversary of what we now refer to as September 11th, or 9/11. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg says it's unusual for Americans to memorialize an event by its date.
Back in 1979, when I was living in Rome, the singer Francesco De Gregori had an odd hit with a kind of alternative national anthem called Viva l'Italia, which has since become a classic. The song is laced with an ironic affection for Italy with all its faults. The tone is more like My Funny Valentine than the love it or leave it swagger of our patriotic country songs or the angry repudiations of our protest music.
Viva l'Italia! Italia liberata! Italia delle valse, l'Italia del caffè. L'Italia derubata e colpita al cuore. Viva l'Italia, l'Italia che non muore. Viva l'Italia.
Viva l'Italia, it went, plundered and betrayed, half garden and half jail. Italy with its eyes shut in the dark night, Italy unafraid. The last verse went, Viva l'Italia, Italy of the 12th of December, Italy draped in flags and Italy naked as always, Italy with its eyes open in the sad night, Italy that resists. I had to ask an Italian friend about that reference to the 12th of December. It turned out to be the day in 1969 when neo-fascists set off bombs in Milan and Rome that killed 16 people and wounded more than 100, setting off a long period of violence and instability. The Italians are always using dates to refer to important events. In Rome alone, there are streets named after May 24th, September 8th, September 20th, February 8th, October 25th, and November 4th, all of them commemorating various events of national significance. The Italians aren't alone in this. The French still refer to major developments of the French Revolution by dates like the 9th of Thermidor and the 18th of Brumaire, using the names of the months in the revolutionary calendar. And they've kept up the practice in modern times. A recent article in Le Monde asked whether the socialists were heading for a new 21st of April, the date of the 2002 presidential elections when the party was eliminated by the far-right party of Jean-Marie Le Pen. As it happens, in fact, we Americans are one of the few nations who don't refer to historical events this way. There's the 4th of July, of course, but we only use that date to refer to the national holiday, not the approval of the Declaration of Independence back in 1776. We talk about Pearl Harbor, VE Day, and the Kennedy assassination, not December 7th, May 8th, or November 22nd. September 11th is the one exception. That may be because the events of that day happened in two different places. Giving the date is more concise than saying the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. But even so, we seem to feel the need to give the date a special name. Since the attacks, September 11th has been steadily losing ground to 9/11, which is now about six times as common in the press. That's the way we write a date in headlines or on a check stub, not what we say in conversation when somebody asks for our birthday. Of course, you could say that our reluctance to refer to events by month and day is simply a matter of avoiding ambiguity as to which year we're talking about. But people in other nations don't seem to have any problem understanding these references. Would that be next Brumaire 18th? Or the one back in 1799. For the French and Italians, in fact, that's the point of referring to events as December 12th or April 21st. It appeals to the collective memory of a community linked by a common daily experience. You have the image of a people turning the pages of the calendar in unison and marking the important dates in red letters. It's the same sense of history that allows families to refer to the dates of birthdays and anniversaries without having to remind each other what their significance is. Of course, that familial sense of national community comes more naturally to a homogeneous people with a history that transcends regimes and revolutions. And we Americans don't really think of ourselves as a people in that sense. When we talk about the American people, we usually continue with are rather than with is. That may be why we're uncomfortable with the familiar sort of patriotism you hear in De Gregori's Italian anthem. When my sister and I talk about our family, we can allow ourselves a tone of fond exasperation without having to worry that somebody's going to accuse us of being anti-Nunberg. As families go, at any rate, we Americans aren't very good at remembering the dates of our anniversaries. Shortly after the Battle of Lexington and Concord in 1775, John Adams' wife Abigail wrote that the 19th of April would be ever memorable for America as the Ides of March to Rome. But the only people who mark that date now are the decidedly unfamiliar far rightists who associate it with Waco and the Oklahoma City bombing. Most Americans couldn't tell you when the shot heard round the world was fired, or for that matter, by whom or at what. That may very well be the fate of today's date, too, within a couple of generations. But in the meantime, there's something to be said for referring to the event simply as September 11th, rather than with that bureaucratic-sounding 9/11. It's only two extra syllables, and it locates the events where they happened, in the middle of our daily lives.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University's Center for the Study of Language and Information, and he's the author of The Way We Talk Now.